Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Today we're going to follow up on our discussion with Bill Kucharski, who's head of the Department of Environmental Management, about wastewater. In my conversation with him, I learned that we have wastewater treatment plants in Hilo and in Kona, each with a capacity of around 5 million gallons of wastewater per day, both of which are being used at less than half capacity. Yet the county has only extended sewers to a very small percentage of homes and businesses here on the island. Additionally, and of serious concern, the water off West Hawaii, especially around Honokahau Harbor, has been downgraded over the decades from pristine to impaired. One huge factor is the state has cesspools at Honokahau Harbor, which dump sewage pretty much directly into the harbor. But another concern has been that the county is dumping its somewhat treated wastewater into a hole in the ground within a mile of Honokahau Harbor. Some believe that water is also a source of ocean pollution, and this situation has existed for decades. An additional possible factor, according to Bill, is pollution from cesspools in private homes and businesses. And by the way, the state has mandated there will be no cesspools by 2050. But it's not clear what should replace the cesspools, as Hawaii County Department of Environmental Management head Bill Kucharski notes that even septic tanks on this island can pollute the ocean because we have so little dirt, especially on the west side, to filter the water. This has been a big issue for a long time, and the county has not addressed it effectively, in many people's view, up to this point. Partly because it's going to cost millions of dollars to solve, according to the experts. But the county may have a new incentive to act sooner than later because of court rulings. Several environmental groups filed a lawsuit against Maui County, and the courts ruled that sewer systems that discharge effluent into the ocean are required to have a National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit. And we have somebody here in the studio to speak more to that issue in just a minute. So we do have issues. We're polluting the ocean. The state has outlawed cesspools by 2050. We're wasting recyclable water, which could potentially be used as water for landscaping. And there's the potential for a lawsuit. Today, as we continue the discussion and learn more about issues and solutions, we have two folks with us who are knowledgeable about wastewater and water, and in one case, can have a major impact on the county's policies. Steve Holmes is a former Honolulu Council member from 1991 to 2003, and he worked with Honolulu City Council on similar water issues. He's also the former Energy and Sustainability Coordinator for the City and County of Honolulu. He won the U.S. Department of Energy's National Energy Champion Award in 2002. He was a state energy analyst in Hilo, a park ranger at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and other parks, and he's worked with a number of nonprofit environmental organizations. Steve Holmes, good morning. Aloha. Thank you for being here.
Aloha. Thank you for having me.
Rick Bennett got his Ph.D. in microbiological sciences and immunology at University of California, Davis, and has been working with water, water reclamation, and climate since 1978, starting in Petaluma and Santa Rosa in California. He tells us that those communities now recycle their water quite effectively. Rick Bennett today is the chair of the County Department of Environmental Management and was my guest more than 10 years ago talking about land use issues. Rick also has worked with a number of environmental groups. Good morning. Aloha, Rick.
Aloha to you. Good morning.
You are the chair of the Board of Environmental Management, but I believe you told me you're here not in that capacity today.
2 points. First, it's called the Environmental Management Commission, and like most county commissions, we're volunteers. And this year, I was elected to be its chair. And so I can certainly reflect on positions the commission has officially taken, but most of what I'm going to be saying today is my personal view as an environmental scientist.
Okay, very good. I'd like each of you to tell me, I just gave a summary of what I learned from Bill Kucharski, but I'd like to know what you think the issues are that surround Hawaii County's management of wastewater. And Rick, let's start with you as a private scientist.
Well, I think our biggest challenge is we have chosen, as a global community, really, to put our wastes out of sight, out of mind, in the ground. And in many places, you can do this and the consequences don't arise for tens, twenties, hundreds of years. In a coastal environment, whether it be Marin County, California, or some atoll in the Pacific, or our islands, when we put wastewater into the ground, it will eventually, in most cases, end up in the ocean, because here too, water flows downhill.
Steve Holmes, what do you have to add?
Part of the challenge for the county is financing and how to structure some of these challenges. Part of the financing comes in recognizing that you have resources. So if you treat wastewater to an R1 level and then you simply throw it into an absorption pond or percolation pond, you're throwing that resource away. And that resource then becomes a financing mechanism. So in Honolulu, we have the Honu'uli'uli Water Recycling Facility. It's the largest in the state, 12 million gallons per day. Literally billions of gallons have been treated since it was built. It was built all using private funds, no taxpayer money at all.
Well, who's private funds?
It's privately operated. It was done as a design, build, operate facility, and it's administered through the Honolulu Board of Water Supply. So in lieu of drilling new wells and pumping water from one part of the island to the high growth areas on the other, they found out it was a lot cheaper to do water recycling. So they take water or effluent from the wastewater treatment plant that the county has, they raise it up to an even higher level, and then we mandated connections throughout the Eva Plain as part of the community development plan. So that created the market for the business. So there's a way that you can set up a business model that relieves that burden of those costs that Bill is concerned about from having to be borne by taxpayers.
You mentioned R1 water. What is R1 water?
So I just sent Rick a Department of Health description of what R1 was, and it's water that's been treated, filtered, and disinfected. And that's as opposed to, say, R2, which the Kealakehe treatment plant presently is designed for, which does not do the extra level of filtering that's required to do R1.
Okay, now, what can R1 water be used for? Does that mean I can drink it or no?
It used to be believed that R2 could be used for irrigation, for golf courses and things like that. But increasingly, what you see is the industry has shifted over to R1 for safety reasons. It reduces the amount of solids, so you're not clogging up the pukas and the irrigation system, which really gets to be humbug for people who operate irrigation systems. And it allows for better disinfection, so that if you have aerosols on a golf course, for instance, you're not exposing golfers to pathogens.
So basically, R1 is still used for landscaping, not for drinkable water. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, that's right. The idea is to displace potable water. So that's where the value is. So
meaning that you won't be using drinkable water to water a golf course or a park. You will instead be using this water that could not be used for drinking water.
Yeah, that's right. So in Kona Commons, for instance, which is near your studio here, you have a lot of irrigation going on at that shopping center. All of that could be using recycled water instead of potable water, and then that frees up that potable water for its highest and best use, which is drinking water.
The technology to turn sewer water into drinkable water is on hand. The county of San Diego is doing just that.
Really?
There are buildings where they're designing their membrane biofiltration systems such that their toilet water becomes drinking water for the building. And I know this is a huge yuck factor.
That's okay. You know, in space, the astronauts drink their own urine after it's been treated. So,
I'd like to clear up a myth. And it's a myth that's been written in government stone for hundreds of years. And that is the notion that all human waste is teeming with microbes that are just waiting to cause an epidemic. And that's categorically not true. With the advent of the Human Microbiome Project, we now can characterize the thousands of different species of microbes that exist in our colon, and they're there for good reasons. What's not there in healthy people are pathogens waiting to make us all sick. Now, that being said, when somebody is sick with the norovirus, the AKA the cruise ship virus, they literally shed trillions of virus particles per gram of feces. And it only takes 1 to 10 virus particles to make you sick. And that's why in a confined environment like a cruise ship, everybody gets it. And yes, sanitation of wastewater will always be critical as a preventive from such epidemics. That also being said, the new technology now of ultraviolet light treatment is actually far better than chlorination. And the downside of chlorination is that it's not effective against some viruses. And some bacteria like Staph aureus, fairly resistant to it. Nobody ever described Staph aureus as a wastewater organism until recently. There was a Swedish graduate student that did his thesis on this about 10 years ago. And all of a sudden, now that we're looking, we're finding. So ultraviolet treatment is going to be our future. And that technology will be available for any scale. Solar photovoltaic systems, powering ultraviolet lenses in residential units, in commercial units, will be our future, and it's cost effective.
Steve mentioned something that is a concern, which is the Kealakehe Wastewater Treatment Plant, which is a huge issue for West Hawaii, is only treating to R2. Should it be treating to R1, Rick Bennett?
Yes, indeed. And in fact, this is a position that the Environmental Management Commission took two meetings ago. We recommended to the county that all county wastewaters be disinfected to the R1 level.
And would that take care of things such as, I know that there's a lot of chemicals, for example, a big conversation now is chemicals and sunscreens, oxybenzone, things like that. Would that take care of chemicals like that?
No.
Okay.
That will require a special treatment to take out chemicals and all the pharmaceuticals that get excreted in our urine every day. These are issues, but the big issues for me are nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, and virus.
Okay, but the R1, the intent is not for people to drink it. It's to be used, hopefully, for landscaping and all that. What are we doing, though, to get the Kealakehe Wastewater Treatment Plant upgraded? Has the county accepted the recommendation of the Environmental Management Commission?
Probably not. All new discharges and certainly all new reuse applications will be R1 by policy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so we don't have to be concerned about the aerosol mist that will be created as we irrigate the park, which I do hope will come to fruition.
You're talking about the non-existent regional park that environmental management continues to say is the source for a lot of this water?
Yeah, I think a park represents the ability of the county to manage the water well when it brings in the necessary expertise by contract or by hire. And then as they master the irrigation technology, I think we have to remind ourselves, we have a hard time keeping our lawns uniformly green.
Oh, sure.
At our homes. Okay, now multiply that by 100 acres and deal with the wind and the scheduling for recreation and all the design problems. And so irrigation's a science.
Oh, it's very much a science. But my point is, there is no park at this time.
No.
There's no money to pay for a park, $120 million. There's no park really on the drawing board, even though it's sort of designed. But I don't personally see that park coming along for at least 10 years, if that.
I agree with you.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then these interviews are posted as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. And Island Issues is now sponsored by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community in Kailua Kona. Today, we are in the second of three interviews about wastewater. Part one last week was with the head of the County Department of Environmental Management, Bill Kucharski. That's at the podcast. Today and next week, we have Rick Bennett, PhD, who has studied water for years, and Steve Holmes, who used to handle wastewater for City and County of Honolulu. And I have to admit, I'm finding this topic super interesting. Let's get back to Steve Holmes.
The county has no experience doing water recycling. There are no water recycling plants on this island. Maui County, for instance, actually has a water reuse division. They actually have paid staff, and that's what they do. And they have a plan to expand. They're doing reuse at quite a number of the treatment plants on Maui. Maui is a very critical water situation, really mandates that they do more with water recycling. So Hawaii County could choose to do a reuse division of its own, or they could do what Honolulu did and create a public-private partnership. We have a lot of golf courses on the Kohala Coast, for instance, up at the hotels. You have people that do this for a living. There is a lot of experience in this, and you could contract that out. About a year and a half ago, when under the previous mayor, an engineering firm, Aqua Engineers, came over from Kauai. They offered to put in a package treatment plant and put in the infrastructure, and they would do reuse as a service. And these are people that know how to create the market. They aren't just looking at some place to dump the water. And I think that was how the idea of the district park evolved, was we need some place to get rid of this stuff. And so they were looking at targets, but they didn't look at the high school, for instance. They didn't look at Department of Hawaiian Homelands, all of that area that could put in dual piping systems as part of their project. People who do this for a business tend to look at things a lot different than most wastewater folks do.
Well, you know, when Bill Kucharski was here, I did ask him why they couldn't send some of the recycled water that is treated at Kealakehe Wastewater Treatment Plant up to the Hawaiian Homelands area, to shopping centers, to the airport, because the airport's in the process of remodeling and they're going to need water for landscaping. Right. He said the pipes don't go to the airport, and he said it's too expensive to pipe it up.
The airport already does water recycling. They have their own package treatment plant, and they have a wonderful solar array that powers the whole thing. But they certainly could repurpose some old Department of Water Supply tanks, and they've had some discussions about doing that. And they could put solar near the treatment plant on that barren lava field that's out there. It's a great location for solar. And use that to pump the water uphill into the storage tanks where you'd create pressure for a distribution system.
And you're talking about water from the Kealakehe Wastewater Treatment Plant.
That's right. So at Lahaina, for instance, on Maui, they're proposing to stop the injections as a result of the lawsuits and, in fact, put in storage tanks and a distribution system. So there's models that are out there that Hawaii County could use.
Oh, I'm absolutely positive. But since Bill told me there are no pipes to take the water from the Kealakehe treatment plant to the airport, the furthest it's going is to Kauanike Golf Course, because they are hoping Kauanike wants to use the water. And that leads me to another issue. I said I presume that we would expect them to purchase it to pay for it. But given that the county isn't used to doing that, so sounds like a private contractor is a swell idea.
They put in a pipe already as part of the highway widening project that goes all the way up to the entrance of the Kohanaiki Resort.
Right, I know.
And they still need the last mile from the Kealakehe Parkway back to the treatment plant for that. Kohanaiki has the advantage of doing what's called desalinization through reverse osmosis. So right now, the effluent from the treatment plant's very salty, and you'd have a hard time using it, whereas Kohanaiki is using a groundwater resource that's very salty, and so this would actually be a benefit for them. But I've not seen a signed contract with the county that talks about the volume that they'd be willing to take.
This is a little too deja vu for me. Back in the 1990s, when the county was talking about reclamation because they were funded by the EPA to build the Kealakehe Wastewater Treatment Plant and a sewer line along Ali'i Drive and to build a reclaimed water infrastructure. The attitude in the county at that time was, well, once we build it, the golf courses will surely take it. And that was the extent of the conversation. Yeah.
They were actually going to build a golf course, and then the whole golf course market fell apart in the early 90s, and they ended up not doing it, and so they kept using this temporary sump, and that's what 25 years later they continued to dump into. And there are, by the way, USGS studies that were also done that showed that the flow from the sump to the harbor has been established. They had some interim wells, and they used a number of indicator tests that they did that showed that the effluent's getting into the harbor and then out into the nearshore coastal waters.
And what you're talking about is currently treated water at the Kealakehe Wastewater Treatment Plant that is put into a hole in the ground that's right near the Kona Police Station?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's what, in talking with folks who are extremely knowledgeable about the condition of the harbor, that is one issue. And I understand, though, that a big issue also is the fact that the state doesn't seem to get rid of their cesspools right at the harbor. Rick, are you in conversation at all with State Department of Land and Natural Resources about their intent to do that? Because that would certainly also help the water quality at the harbor, which is not having to do with our main topic.
Personally, I'm not.
I've been in meetings at the harbor. One of my other hats is I'm vice chair of the Hawaii Fishing and Boating Association, along with Rick Gaffney. We've had meetings with DOBOR, the Department of Boating and Outdoor Recreation, and their engineers have committed that they will connect to the Hawaii County system, since the treatment plant's right next door, and they would shut down all of their existing seepage pits that they're using for disposal and run it all the way up to the county system at the highway.
When are they going to do this?
Well, we're trying to push them. We're working on a letter from an attorney to get Suzanne Case and the department to finally put money in the budget. There's no money in the current budget. And then we've also been working with Representative Nicole Lowen, who has committed that she's going to try and push funds into the budget. She'll add a budget amendment to do that. So we've got some commitment, but we're not seeing the commitment on the money side to bring that to an end. They also put in a pump-out station for boats, and all of that right now is just going into a holding tank, and then the state has trucks come in and pump that out. There's a lot of traffic down there. There's a lot of tour boats that are coming and going, and they would very much like to connect to the county system. So there's a lot of reasons for them to do it, but in the meantime, we haven't seen the budgeting, and we haven't seen an EIS document that you would need to put in that type of infrastructure. So we're going to continue to nip at their heels and try and get that moving along.
How many years has everybody been nipping at the heels of the state to do what they're obligated to do to protect our nearshore waters? 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40?
The problem here has been the Department of Health. About 2 years ago, I met with Alexis Strauss, who's the regional deputy administrator for Region 9 of EPA. She came out to Kealakehe and out to the harbor at Honokahau and toured the facilities so that she had a better understanding. And they defer to the Department of Health here in Hawaii, which is the primary end of their program. It's just been really disappointing. They've known that the coastline's impaired. It's under what's called a Section 303D report that they give to EPA. Those numbers continue to show the water's impaired, but the state has done nothing to adopt regulatory standards to reduce the pollution. It hasn't done any watershed planning to identify pollution sources so that we can start solving the problem. So it's been very disappointing with the Hawaii Department of Health. They have a requirement under the state constitution, something called the precautionary principle under the public trust doctrine. And as officials, they're required to help protect our coastal resources. It's written right into our state constitution. But getting them to do their job has really been a challenge. And that's why on Maui, the citizens groups had to do what's called a citizen suit under the Clean Water Act provisions for that. And so we had to step in over EPA and the Department of Health to finally get the county to do what they should have been doing.
So is the acting party here relative to the specifics of Honokahau Harbor, is it Department of Health? Is it the Department of Land and Natural Resources? I'm not hearing anybody actually take responsibility for this.
So about a year and a half ago, I worked with Gary Gill, who was Deputy Director of Health at the time. Gary's moved on since then. And we got them to send a letter out to the state advising them that they needed to clean up their act at the harbor. But they didn't do what's called a consent decree. And a consent decree is something that's got some legal teeth. Department of Health could have done that, set up timelines, and that would have helped push the budgetary funding process along once you've got a consent decree in place. They didn't do anything except send a letter.
Well, so DLNR has to wait for that? They can't just do what the right thing is, which they clearly know what the problem is? They are dumping sewage into Honokahau?
They absolutely could do the right thing. But somehow, because of DLNR's budgetary process and all the negotiations that go on in a ginormous state budget, we just have not been able to get the funding in place.
This is frustrating.
Yeah.
I've been doing this 20 years, and it's beyond frustration. And when we share our story, as we're doing now with people, it frustrates people. It's like, what can I do? And I'd like to kind of turn that to what can I do, because any household that is currently on a cesspool or cesspit, it's there because the state said they could put it there. And there is no cheaper way of disposing household waste. The difficulty is it doesn't treat the waste. There are engineers that will tell you that magical chemistry occurs in the rocks. Well, I'm also a chemist, and I've studied the geochemistry of wastewater, and there is no magic. The nutrients will eventually work their way to groundwater, and once it's in the groundwater, it's on its way to the sea. And the same for the pathogens. The difficulty is the only option that's being presented to the public now throughout the state of Hawaii is to convert to a septic system.
Yet Bill Kucharski said they are not that much better in this environment that we have here on this island.
They're not that much better in any environment. There are communities in Florida that are taking the septic systems out because they contaminate the groundwater on that coral sand.
So you're requiring homeowners to spend $10,000, maybe $15,000
more than that
to put in a septic system. And even if there were tax credits available, and they're very limited at the state level. Once again, Nicole Lowen got a bill passed that set up a mechanism for tax credits. It's the wrong solution.
Let me go a little further than Bill did. Septic systems in most environments do not treat waste to an acceptable level. There is some filtration of solid particles, which is the purpose of the septic tank. It's to keep the larger particles from going out into your leach field and plugging it up. If it gets plugged up, you get to dig it up and replace it, which is very expensive. But once the leachate, this relatively solids-free water that's high in nutrients and also loaded with all kinds of bacteria, sometimes bad ones.
Okay, and are nutrients good or bad?
Well, nutrients in your lawn or your farm are a good thing. Nutrients in groundwater, and if that's drinking water, nitrogen in groundwater is unhealthful. Nutrients in our ocean waters are very detrimental. Tropical waters are, by definition, oligotrophic, which means they have very few nutrients. The reason tropical waters are so clear is because they're nutrient poor. In the 20 years that I've been here, and I'm a freediver snorkeler, I've seen the visibility in Ho'okena, Honaunau, go down dramatically. And that's because of the overnutrition of the water causing marine algae to grow and increase turbidity. So we need to learn to get the nutrients out. The technology to do that exists. There are waste treatment plants on the eastern seaboard along the inland passages that have been denitrifying their wastewater for over 30 years using a natural technology of anaerobic denitrification, where the bacteria grab the oxygen on nitrate and then they exchange nitrogen gas into the atmosphere. And nitrogen gas is an inert gas. 80% of what we're breathing right now is nitrogen. It is not a greenhouse gas. What's exciting, though, is the technology to treat household wastewater up to the R1 level is commercially available today. It's a little pricey, but I am convinced that as this technology gets commercialized in Hawaii, the price will come down dramatically. And this one firm that I'm talking with is attempting to develop, as we speak, a retrofit unit that would go into your cesspit hole and treat the wastewater to the R1 level, at which point it'd be much safer to discharge. But if it were me, I'd bring it up and I'd use it at all my landscaping.
Well, let me just ask a question. We have sewage treatment plants at Kealakehe and in Hilo. Bill Kucharski said they're both used only about to 50% capacity.
That's right.
The initial intent of many subdivisions when they were built, there's some fairly densely populated subdivisions. A lot of those subdivision developers were told there will be sewer lines to hook up. Why is that not happening? Because that would be a start to be able to get people out of cesspools and onto the existing county sewer system.
So let me use the Keaho region as an example. At Queen Kalama, the sewer line ends by design. And as that sewer line extends down towards Queen Kalama, it gets smaller and smaller because you don't have the capacity. People are saying, why can't we bring a sewer line from the many residences and businesses in Keaho and connect with the little sewer line at Queen Kalama? It's because it won't handle the capacity.
Well, how about the subdivisions, Komohana, Kilohana, Kona Vista, Ziolani, the ones that are above Queen Kaumanu Highway and Kuakini Highway, or actually surrounding it, Seaview Circle, all of those?
It could be done, but the cost of sewering those streets is significant. Something that I think the future holds for us is the day of large centralized wastewater treatment plants like Kealakehe, pretty much over. And it's over because the EPA is no longer granting communities to do that. All the work we did in Santa Rosa and Petaluma, a lot of that work was funded by the EPA. And after the city of Los Angeles spent $2 billion and San Francisco City spent $2 billion, that fund was gone. What we're going to see, I believe, is neighborhood-scale water treatment facilities where you may have 10, 20, 30 homes. When they're built, they're connected to a small regional wastewater treatment plant that's operated by a professional at a cost that the neighborhood would pay. And then that water then is made available to the neighborhood for landscape irrigation, washing cars, irrigating the commons. The Queen Liliuokalani Trust is proposing 4,000 to 6,000 homes to the north and to the east of the old airport area, and to even extend above the area around Macy's. And as I read that EIS, or the environmental assessment, there was no mention in it whatsoever about reclaimed water reuse.
That's kind of shocking. Why would Queen Liliuokalani Trust not include something about reclaimed water or a wastewater treatment plant? What are they thinking of doing?
I suspect they never had that conversation.
It was just one of those hidden things.
Yeah.
Which is
the county does not have a water reclamation policy, or is there anything in the CDP, the community development plans, that say here we shall do water reclamation?
I think part of the problem is this is just, as Bill Kucharski says, sort of a hidden thing. You run water down the drain, you flush the toilet, it's gone. You have no idea where it's going, and you haven't even thought about it.
Out of sight, out of mind.
And with that, we're going to take a pause in our conversation with Rick Bennett, with whom we just spoke, who's been studying water for many years and is on the county's Board of Environmental Management, and Steve Holmes, who used to handle wastewater for City and County of Honolulu, and will resume the conversation next week. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken, your host and producer. Until next week, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us at info@labo105.com. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.